Barbara Jones Streisand, or as she's more commonly known, just Barbara, burst onto the Broadway scene in the 1960s. Since then, through EGOT-winning films, albums, tours, and TV specials that have stretched into the 2020s, she has had a career that is, in a word, legendary. She's been a trailblazer, a button pusher, a visionary, a sensation, a peerless performer, and, all too often, she's been criticized for being an incredible talent with big dreams and the guts and brains to make them a reality. And her fans cherish her for every bit of that. So as the great pop culture debate begins its new series exploring the essential works of iconic women in music, who better to honor? So say hello, Dolly, as the great pop culture debate seeks to discover the best Barbra Streisand song of all time. Find me an empty lap, fellas. Preferably a bumpy one, if you know what I mean. I'm your host, Eric Resniak, and I would say send in the clowns, but they're already here. Please welcome my panel for this episode. Bit by bit, he's putting it together. Bob Erlenbeck, would you agree to an interview?
Maybe one.
What if it's Tiger Beat?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I thought you'd be into that. His body is soft as an easy chair, and his humor is fresh as the morning air. It's Derek Makeda.
Hello, gorgeous.
Zaddy, can you hear me? And finally, you best not bring around a cloud to rain on his damn parade. Please welcome to the podcast, Nick Everidge.
Don't tell me not to live, just sit and putter.
I would never do that. And since we're on the topic, would you mind to please pass me the butter? Now, Nick, I believe you actually have a link to Barbra Streisand in your name. Is that correct?
That is correct. Back when Funny Girl came out in 1969, my very own mother saw the movie in the movie house back in the days. You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought Omar Sharif as Nicky Arnstein was so suave and debonair that she swore right then and there that she would name her son Nicholas. Fast forward 10 years, bada bing, bada bang.
And here he is. So who better to have on a Barbra Streisand episode, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you. So how does this work? Since this is a mini-sode, there was no public poll. Our panelists combed through the storied discography of Miss Streisand, considering any and all songs by her. Originals, covers, standards, Broadway numbers, duets, even holiday songs, much to my chagrin. We each put forward our individual top 15s, compared notes, and created a collective top 16. We added those songs to a bracket. Now we argue about it and insult each other, all for your amusement. Want to play along at home? You can go to greatpopculturedebate.com and find the polls and brackets tab. There you'll find the listener bracket for this and every episode. Make a copy for yourself. That part is super important. Fill it out and see if your picks match up with ours. So before we start, I want to ask my panelists, what were some of the Barbra songs that you suggested and were upset did not make the bracket? Bob, I'm going to start with you.
Well, I'm not upset at all. Eric, all of my songs made the bracket.
Oh, well, fuck you too. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, all of my Barbra love made it into today's conversation.
And you know what? This episode is going to be all about Barbra love, so I'm fully on board with that. Derek, what
James
about you?
James Brolin knows all about it.
He does. Derek?
Well, I mean, it's not one that I'm surprised didn't make it, but I did want to give an honorary hat tip to her bonkers collaboration with Bowie on the track Life on Mars. Bowie himself has said that he hated working with her on this. And honestly, I'm so glad that this recording exists because it's not like anything else that Barbra has ever recorded. It's bizarre in a way that's like perfectly Bowie, but so strange to hear Barbra belt out. It feels outside her comfort zone, and maybe that's why I like it.
Okay, that sounds very cool. By the way, you actually just reminded me, if you're interested, we have put together a playlist on Spotify of all of the top 16 Barbra songs, as well as the other ones that we suggested and didn't make it. I think there's a total of 50 songs, all by Barbra. Everything you'll be hearing on this podcast mentioned is in this playlist. So if you're like, I'm not that super familiar with her works, A, shame on you, and B, you can check out the link on this piece on greatpopculturedebate.com. You will be able to find a link to that Spotify playlist. Nick, what about you?
So, again, going back to Funny Girl, My Man, the song that closes out the movie, so powerful, didn't make the list. I was a little heartbroken, but I think we have some good arguments with lots of other songs.
Absolutely. And there's the top 16 is actually very good, and it's a very competitive bracket, I'll say that. I had a bunch of mine didn't make the bracket. I'm, you know, not at all offended by that. No, just kidding. In terms of originals, I have a real affinity for the groovy Stony End and Woman in Love from her 70s era. From Broadway, I adore Secondhand Rose from Funny Girl. It's one of my all-time favorite Barbara songs. And the thrilling version that she did of At the Ballet with Anne Hathaway and Daisy Ridley from one of her more recent albums. And then as far as standards, I will never be able to get enough of her bombastic Lover Come Back to Me or the sultry Aching Since I Fell for You. To me, I know there's a million renditions of that song, but hers is at the top for me. It's just so good. It's so emotional. With that being said, let's get into these actual debates. We start off with a unanimous decision in favor of our overall top pick, Don't Mind My Parade from Funny Girl. In case you didn't get the memo, this is a panel of card-carrying homosexuals. And that song took out Barbara's Gotta Move, quite literally. But hey, now it can find someplace, some other place that is not on this bracket. Before it goes, Derek, you did want to say something about Gotta Move.
Yes, I just wanted to plug this song since I think I may have been the only one to nominate it. I don't know that I had heard this song before it was used on the Tu Wong Fu soundtrack, but it's become a staple in my lip sync repertoire. Anytime I'm feeling some sassy wanderlust, my friend Sophie and I would always make sure to have it queued up before our road trips together. It's only about 2 minutes long, but it's such a great tempo, and Barbara is doing Manic Barbara, and I just love it. So please give it a listen. That said, there was no way I could not vote for Don't Rain on My Parade. I'm gutted these two songs had to go up against each other so early. And honestly, there's going to be a couple matchups in these brackets that it's like, why did these two songs have to go up against each other? But here we are.
Yeah, there's a lot of actually really difficult ones here. I could be flipped anyway, and it is a Saturday as we're recording this, so I could be flipped multiple times on a Saturday, but specifically for these arguments, if you're listening, Ms. Streisand, I'm so sorry that I'm scandalizing you so early into this debate. The panel is currently deadlocked over Barbara's cover of Somewhere from West Side Story off of her 1985 Broadway album and the original Papa, Can You Hear Me? From Yentl. Derek, argue why there's a place for Somewhere in round two. Nick, open our minds and our ears to the idea of Papa moving forward. I'm going to have Derek go first.
Yes, this is again one of those brackets where I'm like, God damn it, why'd they have to go up against each other? Because I love Papa, Can You Hear Me? I mean, it just it tugs at my heartstrings. But first and foremost, let's go back to Somewhere. This song was actually my entry point to Barbara back when it first came out and was getting airplay on adult contemporary radio. I'd hear it while I was riding around in the back of my mother's 1986 Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra. This was even before Ooh. This was even before I knew that the song was from West Side Story. That epic synth opening that could not have been more 80s. It really kind of hooked me right from the start, even as a 5-year-old. This song never broke the Billboard Top 40. It did peak at number 5 on the adult contemporary chart, which is frankly where it belongs. I feel like this song was a harbinger, not just of my queer identity, but also my exquisite taste. Thank you very much. And it needs to be this version from 1985. Her re-recording of this song with Josh Groban is triggering to me. This song is soaring with Barbara doing some of her best work to bring like a Broadway standard to new life as an 80s pop song. And it's just perfection to me.
All right, Nick, what about Papa, Can You Hear Me?
Listen, I hear you. Somewhere is absolutely exquisite. There's so many versions of that song. We all love it. I think Barbara does something extra special with it. But Papa, Can You Hear Me? I mean, that is so specifically iconic, especially for Barbara. I mean, it underpins the movie Yentl. It's really talking about the song and the movie are talking about love, but also fighting against the system, living the way you want to live, empowerment, and blowing past artificial barriers. And she's yearning for her father, for her support, for her love. It is everything Babs has done for her remarkable career. And let's not forget that the power of a great song is how deeply it gets into our everyday psyche. For example, Papa Can You Hear Me has been parodied in so many different settings. Let's not forget Austin Power, Goldmember. Remember, as Goldmember is electrocuted, Papa Can You Hear Me? I mean, it's covered in The Simpsons, Nelson. He's actually singing for his father, who's missing. I mean, and then, okay, all right, Deadpool. Deadpool, nearly 30 years after Yentl comes out, Wade and his girlfriend are watching Yentl before getting on and having some relations, okay? And then Mr. Old Wade, he connects it to Frozen, okay? So when I think about the power of a song and its ability to just get within us, Papa Can You Hear Me has to beat out somewhere, as sad as it is.
So I want to say this. I'm glad you brought up Yentl, and I don't know how much we'll talk about Barbara's movies during this debate, but I do want to say Yentl was really kind of that was a passion project for her, right? Like, this is something she fought so hard to make. I didn't see Yentl till probably like 5 or 6 years ago. What a gorgeous movie that is. Like, visually, it is a feast, and it's very well directed. She's excellent in that role. Battleship Potemkin, or Mandy Potemkin, if you will, is a stone cold fox in that movie, by the way. If you're gays and you haven't watched it, he can get it in that movie. So thank you. I just wanted to speak a bit on Yentl. Is a very, very special project and something she had to really fight to make. Bob, where are you on this one?
This is one of the pairings of this, and very often we get into like, what's our rubric and how do we determine like what is, in this case, what is a Barbara song? There, like, this was one of those pairings where I was like, well, Somewhere really isn't her song. Papa Can You Hear Me really is. I like Somewhere better. But Papa Can You Hear Me, to Nick's point, is kind of that iconic, continues to come up in pop culture moment. I kind of knee-jerk, like, picked Papa Can You Hear Me initially when I pulled this out. But as I'm sitting here thinking this through and listening to the arguments between the two, I think I'm probably going to lean more towards Somewhere now, because I do think it's a better song for me, at least. It fills me up a little bit more emotionally with regards to, like, the crescendos and the power that it continues to build upon throughout the course of the song. It just really impacts and touches me in a way more so than Papa Can You Hear Me. Is really more that it's kind of a little bit of a joke here and there too, right? We kind of pick on it a little bit because it's just such an iconic line, Papa Can You Hear Me? So I'm going to lean towards Somewhere.
Well, we're in trouble because I was going to flip to Papa Can You Hear Me? But
that's the right one. That's the right one, baby.
Well, Barbara is so iconic in everything that she does. And this is an iconic song, right? But like, and she didn't, some of these songs she wrote, she didn't write. Some are Sondheim, some are Andrew Lloyd Webber. Like, it's all over the place. Like, what is a Barbara song? I had to continue to ask myself, what's a Barbara song? It's something she makes her own in the end, to me. So,
And my argument would be that Somewhere is a great, I don't think her version is the definitive version of Somewhere. I don't. And I do think that part of it, Derek brought this up in his argument, is that incredibly 80s synth opening, which at the time was very special and seemed very modern, and 40 years on feels very dated, and I think, frankly, weighs the song down.
Oh, but I love that about it.
I know you do, and I love that you love that about it. But for me, looking at this from a, like, timeless perspective, she's got songs from the 60s that sound more modern to me than Somewhere does from the 80s. And I agree with Bob's point there that, like, what is a Barbara song? Because as a songwriter, she didn't actually have that many credits. Most of her biggest hits were written by other people, so that's fine. But just, like, I think, does she have the definitive version of a song? Nobody else has a Papa Can You Hear Me that comes close to Barbara Streisand's. The other thing I will say, because you kind of mentioned this, Bob, is that it's kind of become a punchline. But, and you have heard me rail about this on this podcast on multiple times, strong female creators will always have their works being turned into punchlines because we live in a patriarchal society. I know that's going to sound like some bullshit freshman, like, women's lib stuff. But honestly, I do think that's true. She was, like, repeatedly used as a pinata in the 70s, 80s, 90s. And when you look back, you're like, why were people making fun of her work? I'm still not sure what we're making fun of. Is it because she's sincere? Oh no, how terrible. Like, I don't know. That's my argument there. But Bobby, are you going to stick with somewhere?
You know, you kind of swayed me back towards Papa, Can You Hear Me? I think a little bit, because I think you're right. Is somewhere the definitive somewhere? No, I don't. I guess it's not. I just stuttered over myself. But yeah, I'm going to go with Papa, Can You Hear Me?
I argue that the definitive somewhere is the original Broadway recording of West Side Story somewhere. That's my argument. But you can come for me on that. Nick, I'm
assuming it's not the Ansel Elgort version or.
No, or it's not. Bless his heart. Nick, you're sticking with Papa?
I am sticking with Papa. I mean, that song is so directly linked to Barbara. Barbara brought it into this world. Somewhere, as I mentioned, amazing song, amazing recording, but it's been recorded by 10,000 different people.
Yeah.
And I would argue it's not definitive either.
Well, I will remind you all that you said this when we have other stuff from her Broadway album going into these brackets.
Please do, Derek. Please do.
That is exactly the type of spite that I think Barbara Streisand would appreciate. So, with that being said, we're going to move Papa, Can You Hear Me forward. The majority of the panel has misty, watercolored memories of The Way We Were, but Bob is feeling festive and wants to push forward with Babs's camp Christmas classic, Jingle Bells? Mark. Derek, keep your argument for Way in the corner of your mind. First, I want to see if Bob can pull off an upsot. Upsot? Bob, take it.
Well, first I take umbrage to the way you said the majority of us, but Bob prefers this. But what can I say about jingle bells? What are words that I can describe here? Frenzied, manic, unhinged. Her intense energy made me feel bombarded in this song. Now, this, first of all, Barbara Christmas album, there's always the joke of Barbara made a Christmas album. Yes, she made a Christmas album. She's a beautiful musical artist. Why shouldn't she make a Christmas album just because she's Jewish? Come on, people.
And
she wants to make the money. She wants to make the money just like the Backstreet Boys do this year with their upcoming.
Absolutely.
With their upcoming music. Exactly.
Get that money.
This song to me is an absolute delight from start to finish. It takes off like immediately with this incredible up-tempo version of the song. It takes you for a ride, and there's even a day or two ago I thought I'd take a ride. That she literally takes us for a ride on this in this song. It's got the peaks and the valleys of the up tempo, the low tempo. I smile every time I hear it, and I love the orchestration of this song because it really takes the instruments and the orchestra to kind of punctuate the verses and add little like the timpani drum, the boom boom, right? The way it uses the brass, and the brass has their moments, the strings have their moment, the timpani, the percussion, they all have their moments, and it's just beautifully orchestrated to me, in my opinion, as to why I would push this forward. You know, it's up against obviously The Way We Were, and I know this is probably an uphill climb for me, because obviously The Way We Were is one of those knee-jerk, in your mind, like, name me a Barbara song, and it's The Way We Were, right? But to me, I think that between these two, I'm going to invoke the, you know, no bummers, only bops that Kara might invoke in some of this, some of her music debates. You know, you can listen to some of those as well in our catalog, but it's a Barbara song, even though it's Jingle Bells, because this version, no one can do this version. No, this is Barbara's definitive version of this song, I guess. Maybe it's not the definitive Jingle Bells, but to me, it's so much fun. It's so different from any other version of this song that even if I didn't convince you, I wanted to speak about it because I find it so much fun and so exciting and just encapsulates everything we know about Barbara.
Yeah, and listen, I actually agree with you that this is the definitive version of Jingle Bells? Which is literally the title of the song, by the way. Jingle Bells? So you are correct in that, sir. And that was an amazing Herculean effort to push this song forward. I love this song. It is on my Christmas playlist every year. There is no question. However, it is up against the juggernaut that is The Way We Were. I don't know how you use no bummers, only bops in a Barbara Streisand bracket.
I get it. She's known for ballads. I understand. But yeah, let's not have a pepperoni moment.
It's not. And I knew you were going to invoke the pepperoni argument.
I know. Hi, Curtis.
I really do feel like this one, it's not just because it is the song everybody knows. It's also an amazing fucking song. So before Derek goes into the argument about this, I'm just like, Nick, are you going with The Way We Were here?
I'm going with The Way We Were. I love Jingle Bells. I still can hear it in the Value City department store. It's right after Thanksgiving. The friends and family discount was on. It was a Sunday night. We were waiting in a long line. And all of a sudden, I hear Jingle bells. I mean, I was floored. And mind you, this is the early 90s, so we did not have Shazam or anything like that. I just knew it was Barbara, and I could only wait to hear it again. Just fantastic. But it is against The Way We Were. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm right there too. Like, nothing but love for this song. But if we're talking the best Barbara Streisand song, The Way We Were has to be in the Elite Eight to me. It has to be. Yeah. Derek, I'm assuming you're sticking with Way We Were.
Yeah, I don't know what Bob is snorting, but it's not white and drifting snow.
All right. With that, we will move The Way We Were ahead. Next, another even split for the panel, this time between People from Funny Girl and Putting It Together from the Broadway album. Bob, what's a little cocktail conversation if it gets the funds for your foundation for Together? I'll explain why we are the luckiest people in the world, because we need people to move forward. Bob, why don't you go first?
Oh, I'm always going first, but, for me, putting it together, the Broadway album, I can kind of share this. This was my entry in my gateway into Barbara. This was the album that my mother would listen to constantly, and I would constantly listen to it because of that. And this song in particular always spoke to me and kind of stuck out to me because it is so much fun, and the way that it is the way it is put together with both the spoken word, the dialogue, and pairing it with the music and all throughout the song as well. I just thought it was very interesting and very theatrical and very, you close your eyes and you can kind of put together a scene in your mind as to what's happening in this song with these people who are speaking and singing, right? I think it is the perfect pairing of a composer and an artist. I think that she is perfectly paired to this song. It is something that she really truly makes her own. Sondheim even rewrote some of the lyrics of the song for her to record this version of it. So it really is her version and her part of the song. But I really love it. It's produced with this really high live energy performance where they're all in a studio together recording, beautiful orchestration. It's you can really imagine it in your mind. Like I said, she took when you think about Barbara and you think about the messages from this song, she really took the struggles that she faced. And this song kind of represents those as well. You can't do that. You know, the struggle between art and business, all of those things is really it's part of Barbara too, right? She faced all of those hurdles in her career. She was a groundbreaker in so many ways that, you know, she made her own way, and she kind of, art isn't easy, as she says in the song, and it truly is for her. And I think that's why she was so well paired to this song, because the emotion that she puts into it and the connection that she brings herself to the song really makes it something special. So that's really my argument there for right now. People is obviously, it's against People, which is one of those songs where you're like, what, name me a Barbara song? Well, People. But to me, People's just a song. This one really soars for me with regards to a representation of her and her connecting to the song.
So that's a really good argument, actually. And, you know, as you were saying it, like, yeah, when I listen to the song, I can see this scene in my head. Like, literally, I see her walking through a set. I see her talking to Alan Arkin, who is very obviously one of the voices talking to her in it. And it is, you're right, it really does relate to her career so intrinsically. This is one I could go either way on. And in fact, it would make me double back on the argument I had earlier, because People is from Funny Girl. It's her singing as Fanny Brice. I do think this is the definitive version of People. But I almost feel as though Putting It Together is more relevant for Barbara's. I'm going to retract that immediately. I think for Barbara's career as a whole, People was one of her really critical cornerstone songs. This sure. was, I think, on one of her first albums. The album is called People. It was after Funny Girl was a hit on Broadway. May have been after the Funny Girl movie. I don't know. But it became one of her signature songs, right? And it is, I mean, talk about the song itself. It is a roller coaster emotionally, vocally, acoustically. It is levels all over the place. And she delivers all of them perfectly. I also think it is something that is personal for her. Yes, she's singing as Fanny Bryce, looking, you know, trying to decide if she can open up to someone, even though she understands that that can bring pain and risk. I think that's probably very relevant for Barbara Streisand, whether it was in the beginning of her career or not. But man, I'm torn on this one. I'm going to go to the panel here. Derek, where are you?
I am with Putting It Together.
Okay. Do you want to explain it or do you want to just say I'm with it?
I like both of these songs, don't get me wrong, but Putting It Together just has some, like, a spark of something special to me.
Okay. Nick?
I gotta stick with People. This is a tough one. I love Putting It Together, and I think it is the very definition of it tells the story of Barbara's career. Putting It Together is fabulous, but when you think about People, if you were to walk up to a random person on the street and ask them, what song, if you think about Barbara Streisand, what song comes to mind? People is going to be so much more at the forefront. I feel like Putting It Together, as amazing of a song that it is, it becomes a little bit more niche, especially with the broader general public. And if we're thinking about the most iconic Barbara Streisand song, People just wins out. I just don't see how putting it together could outweigh that aspect.
Can I push back on that just a little bit?
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
That's what we're here.
And Nick, this is not any disrespect for you, because I'm going to do this throughout the bracket too, but I had to stop and think. I'm not necessarily thinking best iconic, what's the knee jerk that you know for Barbara? Like, it's also like the best song too. And in this pairing, I feel as though the better song is Putting It Together. And I feel like if we do continue to go back to, like, what's the one that pops into your head first, the, you know, that sort of like those iconic moments of things that were cornerstones of her career, does that always make them the best songs? Maybe, maybe not. But in this pairing, for me specifically, Putting It Together takes a cut a little bit above, because there's just, as Derek put it, there is a spark there. There is something about the energy and just the way that this is presented and put together, right? That really makes it special for me.
Oh boy, you guys have got me going back and forth on this one, because Nick had swayed me back over to People with his argument. And then I think Bob makes a great point. Like, is it the, if I'm deciding which is the better song, which song would I rather listen to? It's going to be Putting It Together, which I do agree is produced in a way that is more exciting for the listener than People, which is a love song in a play. That's what it is, right? And that's where it sits. But are we talking about what is a better song, period, or what is a better Barbara Streisand song? And I think those are two different answers here, in my opinion. Here's the thing. If I stay with People, People advances, because it is a 2 seed and Putting It Together is a 3 seed.
On a mini-sode, don't we do tiebreakers?
Do we do tiebreakers on a mini-sode? We do. You're right. I always, they're my rules, so I make them up and I change them. I can do this. I would say on this one, you can hate me, boys. I'm putting People forward. You can come for me. And just remember, vinyl is expensive. So
be nice, Eric. You have to pay a price, Eric.
And I will pay a price, because the next tiebreaker goes to Bob. So we will move People forward. Next, the majority of the panel wants to fight for what we want, fight for what we need, and move the main event / fight to round 3. But Nick wants to tell us that the sun and moon rise in the eyes of Tell Him, the duet between Streisand and Celine Dion. Bob, don't try to kick me when I'm down. Put up your dukes and fight for main event. Nick, explain why loving Tell Him will be the gift we give ourselves. And I'm going to start with Nick.
All right. So this was so tough, as every single round of this particular bracket has been. But listen, there is some juiciness behind Tell Him.
Give me the gossip.
I know. Before I go into that, though, listen, Tell Him, Celine and Barbara, it's almost like a generational passing of the torch. It's coming out approximately 30 years after that iconic moment when Judy and Barbara sing together. It just makes so many connections. It's a belting songstress belting to another. It's that power ballad, that David Foster singer delight supreme. Diva Fest, all right? So, with that said, I need to tell you a story. Mm-hmm. So, picture it. It's 1997, the 69th Annual Academy Awards. Babs, self-directed, The Mirror Has Two Faces, that had been released in 96. And it was only nominated for two Academy Awards. Interestingly enough, Best Supporting Actress for Lauren Bacall, and Best Original Song for I Finally Found Someone with Bryan Adams. Mm-hmm. All right, so great. The Academy, as they are wont to do, they invited Barbara to perform the song during the live ceremony, but she refuses. The gossip mill says she didn't want to sing the song because she had been snubbed for Best Actress or Best Director. So anyway, Barbara says no. They bring in Natalie Cole to sing with Bryan Adams. But wait, 2 days before the show, Natalie gets sick. All right? Yes. Babs offers to step in and sing it, but red light, the producers have already asked Celine to do it.
Oh my God.
Yes. And Celine was already going to be singing during the telecast because she was going to be performing Because You Loved Me, which was nominated from the movie Up Close and Personal starring Michelle Pfeiffer and Robert Redford, Babs's co-star from The Way We Were. Anyway, I digress. So Celine, she's going to go ahead and do it. Barbara's going to be in the audience. But suddenly, when Celine is going onto stage, Barbara ain't nowhere to be seen in that audience. She pulled the ultimate diva move and went to the bathroom, okay, during that performance. So, of course, later Barbara said it was completely by accident and the program that listed all the performances hadn't specified when her song from her movie was going to be performed. So Barbara, being the class act that she is, a few days later sent a note to Celine saying, "Listen, I watched the tape afterwards. You sang my song beautifully, and I regret I wasn't in the room to hear you. Next time, let's make one together. I really wish your song would have won. You are a wonderful singer." That's verbatim of the note she sent to Celine. Well, René Angélil, Celine's grandfather, I'm sorry, her husband didn't let that note go unanswered. And so he called up David Foster to produce a duet for Celine and Babs. Now, this is still juicy. David's then wife, Linda Thompson, who happens to also be the ex-wife of Caitlyn Jenner, wrote the song with David and Walter Afanasieff. All right, now, Walter is famous because he produced My Heart Will Go On and just so happened to work with Mariah during her early years, including co-writing All I Want for Christmas Is You. So that entire song is born out of some crazy ass drama and scandal. Circuitous route includes so many incredible people. Oh my God. So, not only is it bombastic, it has a juicy backstory. I love the main event. I love the fight. But come on, Tell Him, with all of that, what you all think?
Here's my thing. I wish that I was a dinner party level gay at 1997 because you know they were all sitting there with their wine glasses and their black turtlenecks discussing this for like months. Like that is delicious. Thank you, Nick. I had no idea. And if you're listening to this and you were born after the year 2000, like this is what we try to do on this program. The entire point of the Barbra Streisand episode is like, I don't think the millennial gays necessarily embrace her. We're hoping to educate you on that. But like, we love this type of gossip. This is part of our DNA. So thank you for educating us, Nick. Bob, do you want to talk about the main event slash fight?
Yeah, you know, Eric, you and I, I think, grew to appreciate this song around the same time. There was an album that you and I had. It was The Essential, I think. The Essential Barbra Streisand. I'm not sure. It was that was how I became aware of this song, and I like hadn't known about it before. It wasn't one that, you know, people talk, at least people at the time, I don't know, talked about, or it wasn't a song that ever came into my head as Barbra Streisand, because I honestly, I didn't know it existed until I got this album and listened to it. And it was immediately the standout from the album. It is a lovely little disco delight. You know, it is everything that you want from a disco bop. You know, you can't help but bob your head to it, tap your feet, all of those things. And you just feel like the that she has in this song, right? The fight that she has. It's just a lot of fun to listen to. It's a lot of fun to just put on and go fight, 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 right? You know, against Tell Him, again, I said earlier, kind of those no bummers, only bops. I mean, I know there's a lot of, you know, good parts of Tell Him, and it's got a really strong and powerful moments in it. I'm going to go back to something you just said previously, Eric, to like, which song am I going to listen to? I'm probably going to listen to the main event. It wasn't even a super successful or popular song at the time. But it's definitely got all of the Barbra DNA in it. She definitely gives it her all. As she does with everything, and Tell Him as well. But to me, what am I going to listen to? I'm probably going to listen to Main Event. I'm going to listen to Main Event Fight. So that's my argument, as thin as it may be. It's just, to me, what do you want to put on? Main Event.
I don't think that's a thin argument at all. I think it's actually a very good one. Derek, where are you on this?
So the number of times while Nick was telling that story that I clutched my imaginary pearls, ladies, let me tell you, I'm still with the Main Event here. I thought Nick did an amazing job of like literally walking the children through nature. We are through the forest. Snow White's cottage is in the corner somewhere. But yes, I have to stick with the Main Event.
So that was a great story. And I love Tell Him. It's one of, like, it's a great, it's like a diva off, right? But it's not like a combative diva off. It's like supportive diva off. Like, you know, I've been there before, right?
One of my favorite things is there's like, when you watch the video, there's like scenes in the video of like behind the scenes of them recording it, or there's like documentary moments of them recording it where Barbra's trying to teach Celine how to sing. And I'm just like, oh my God, what is happening, right? What is happening right now?
And Celine, I'm sure, is probably just like, oh, really? That's so fascinating.
Exactly. Like, I'm the new, you're the old, right? I'm the future of drag.
Exactly. Like, they're both amazing, and it is one of those songs where like the two of them come together and it's better than, you know, what either one of them could have done by themselves, which we love to see. And it has the line, love will give be the gift to gift yourself, which I say all the time and nobody understands the reference. And to me, it's like one of the tweeest things I've ever heard, but I love it.
I don't say it all the time, but I definitely do it all the time.
But so all of that being said, in terms of, I think Bob put it well, like which song I'm going to listen to more, I'm going to go with Fight, the Main Event. And also in terms of which one is the more iconic Barbra song, I think arguably neither one of these is super iconic for Barbra. It's kind of a wash there. Yeah. What's going for Tell Him right now is Nick's Amazing Story, but I'm still going to stick with Main Event. I'm sorry, Nick.
I am not hurt at all. Listen, okay, this was a tough one. I listened to the Main Event Fight more than I listened to Tell Him. I'm right there with you all. So it hurts my heart a little bit because of the story, but at least we have put it out back out into the world so people will know how that song came about.
And people who need people who can spread good gossip are the luckiest people in the world. So with that being said, the majority of the panel wants to slow things down and make each night a first for Evergreen from A Star Is Born. But my love of Guilty, Streisand's duet with Barry Gibb, can climb any mountain. Derek, explain why Evergreen is a renewable musical resource. I will plead my case for Guilty. Derek, I'd like you to go first.
Eric, pardon the pun, but you are indeed guilty if you're putting that song over Evergreen. You know I love me some Disco Barbara, and I will say, as a slow disco classic, I love Guilty. But it's up against Evergreen. This song is from A Star Is Born, but let's be honest, this star don't already been born. I put this song in the same category as The Way We Were, Break Out the Cashmere, and Play It on Vinyl. Evergreen was Barbara's second number one single, the first being The Way We Were, and it stayed at the top of the Billboard Hot 100 for 3 weeks. It was ranked as number four single on Billboard's year-end charts for 1977, and it is also certified platinum. But let's talk about the awards it won for Barbara. Oscar for Best Original Song? Yep. Golden Globe for Best Original Song? Uh-huh. Grammy for Song of the Year? Yep. Your Honor, the defense rests.
Well, you're guilty. No, I'm just kidding. I have nothing to feel guilty of, my love. No, but in all seriousness, here's the real tea, folks. So in preparation for this episode, I listened to the playlist we put together on Spotify numerous times, and I kept finding myself going back to Evergreen because it's a simple song. It's a very short song, actually. But what I love about it is the restraint in that song. It is like Barbara can belt, obviously. And this is the corniest thing I'm going to say in this entire podcast, I swear to you. But it's like she put on white gloves and was like just gently caressing it, which is, it is, that takes skill. I mean, Nick is a vocalist. I am not. I just bark. But Nick is an actual vocalist. So, you know, like to, and she just soars, but she's never lets it rip in this song. It's always contained, correct?
Correct.
And that really takes skill and artistry. So even though I'm supposed to be pushing Guilty here, I'm completely okay moving forward Evergreen. I will just make a couple quick points on Guilty, even though I think it's getting booted. This was written by all three Bee Gees. Barry sings on it with her, but it was actually written by the entirety of the Bee Gees. It was actually post-disco. This came out after disco had quote-unquote died. It still feels very much like a Bee Gees track, but Barbara puts her own like undeniable energy, like especially when she's doing the humming and the expressiveness in her voice. Like it's a Bee Gees song, but it's interpreted by Barbara Streisand. And that's like putting your peanut butter in my chocolate, right? It's just, it's even better. I'm completely okay with Evergreen moving forward. Nick, where are you on this one?
I'm so behind Evergreen. Her co-writer on Evergreen was also Paul Williams. He co-wrote We've Only Just Begun with the Carpenters. He helped write Rainbow Connection. I mean, it's just the pairing of them. This song is Barbara. I love Guilty. I love Guilty. It reminds me of the early 80s. There's just something about it. I instantly feel pulled to like 1984. But Evergreen has to win here.
Yeah, it is quintessentially 80s, by the way, Guilty. Like, it is quintessentially early 80s specifically. Like that kind of summer gold era. Bob?
It is forever Evergreen.
All right, we're going to move Evergreen forward. Another 75% split, as the majority of the panel wants to look Bob in the eye and simply shout, enough is enough, by pushing forward No More Tears, Barbara's iconic duet with Donna Summer. But Bob is on the phone with FTD, and he wants to admire the rich bouquet of You Don't Bring Me Flowers with Neil Diamond. Bob, show us your flower power. Nick, argue why we have to listen to our hearts and support No More Tears. I'm going to have Nick go first.
Okay, this one, No More Tears, I remember off of actually Donna Summer's Best Of album. It's a two-disc album. I mean, it's the meeting of the divas. The divas at that moment, it's Barbara's first major foray into disco, and it shows that homegirl can do anything and everything. I mean, she still stays classic Barbara, but going into the whole disco ethos is right there, and coupling that with Donna Summer, the queen. Oh my God. Oh my God. Also, too, interesting backstory. So Barbara was doing this song and she wanted it to go onto her album titled Wet. All right. So the original version of this song was just Enough is Enough.
Mm.
Because it was Barbara, the writers actually went back, rewrote the original to add something wet, to make it drippy, soggy, damp, moist, make something there.
Oh my God, so, I love it.
Oh my God, seriously.
Yes.
It's so good. I did not know that.
Yes, yes. So, you know, pack the raincoat at the very beginning. It's raining, it's pouring. Likely all of that was added back in to make it wet. All right. So, not only that, but think about it, that long held note, right when it's starting to shift over from the opening ballady part, no more tear. It's classic Barbara. She holds that tear. I do believe, I thought I counted it once, and I thought it was around 14 measures and 4/4 time.
Oh, wow. My God.
It's something along those lines. It's so crazy. And it best evokes her singing style, which is she will not let a long-held note sound the same from beginning to end. And it's not just increasing the volume. She actually changes the shape of her mouth. And if you watch any of her videos, you will see her do this. She does this little jaw thing. But listen to this. That was me singing that note, moving my lips around, moving my jaw around. And that's what she does in that song. It is so classic Barbara. It's so over the top. And listen, they say when they were recording that song, seeing the two of them, Barbara and Donna, in the booth together, basically going crazy with their over the top belting, it just blew everyone's mind. No more tears. I'm sorry. It just has to win here.
Oh my God, to be a fly on that wall.
I know. Like, is there footage of that? Because if not, we all lost that day. Like, that would have been incredible. And they were friends, apparently. Like, they were legitimately friends.
Yeah, they really were. And in fact, when I was researching the song, when they, Barbara held a lunch for Donna and they were meeting up, they wanted to get together and chat. And the writers of the song, who also co-wrote It's Raining Men, mm-hmm. thank you very much. Mm-hmm. They came there and they were like, okay, let's come up with a song. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was, they were very good friends. Although, do you know, they never performed it live together.
Oh, that makes me sad.
It's so sad. They both sang the song separately, live, but with other people.
Sure. Sure.
Yep.
Well, speaking of other people, Bob, do you want to talk about You Don't Bring Me Flowers with Mr. Neil Diamond?
Well, enough truly is enough. So let it be said, and I don't think we've commented on it yet, and I'm going to go on the record and saying there is nobody in this world who does duets better than Barbara Streisand.
Amen. Speak on it.
A fucking men, right? Like, so many of these songs are duets on this bracket, right? Maybe half of them even. I don't even know. But I really love You Don't Bring Me Flowers. I think that this song has a really unique and interesting story behind it. And I'm not sure if any of you know the story behind this one particularly. But legend has it they each recorded this song individually, separately. It is his song at the end, but they recorded it individually. And apparently there was a radio station or a producer somewhere that was splitting from his wife, and they broadcast the both of these recordings where they just kind of broadcast each one doing the different verses back and forth. And it became such a, at that time, viral and so popular that everybody wanted to hear this recording of them just kind of alternating the verses back and forth between these two vinyl records. And obviously, as this continued to snowball, eventually Barbara and Neil ended up recording it together because it was so popular and people loved it so much. So it's a really cool and interesting story. These are two wonderful artists with really, obviously, two iconic and very distinct sounds, distinct voices. I think, you know, this song, it's so lovely for me. It's got that gentle opening. Her voice is so soft. And you know, and then it comes, then he comes in right after that first verse. And it's almost, to me, it's almost a little bit of a surprise. You think it's this song with her singing, and then he comes in with his first verse, and it's like, oh, wow. And it really kind of, I don't want to, I guess it does jar you a little bit in saying, oh, this is really cool. You know, it's a little bit of a, you know, a surprise to me. And then that first kind of crescendo of now after loving me late at night, like it, she totally belts it and totally gets into it. And it just sends chills down my spine, at least. It just gives me chills as they go back and forth. And she has these big, huge moments of crescendo throughout the song, literally the chills. And I just think, you know, for me, I don't really care for Enough Is Enough all that much. The first half of this song is that very slow tempo version of whatever that is. And I'm just, I'm kind of bored by it, and you kind of want to just zoom past it to the second half, that it's uneven for me. And that's really where I am with these two songs, and why I prefer and think that You Don't Bring Me Flowers is a better song.
I love that you are sticking to your guns on that one, because like, again, there's no bad songs here, and you are correct. Like that was, it's funny you were saying that. I was like, it's kind of like the final song in act one of the last 5 years, where like the two people are meeting at the same point in time and talking about how they both kind of screwed up their relationship. Right. I have to stick with No More Tears here. From my perspective, I never get bored with No More Tears. I live for the drama of the song. Like it does start out very slow and plaintive. And then it comes to like, you know what? No, I have had it. I have had it. Things that I have had it. And they just demolish this song. Derek, where are you?
Oh, Eric, you know where I am.
I know where you are. I know where you are.
I have no more tears.
The other thing I have going against You Don't Bring Me Flowers, and it is a beautiful song and it's great. Don't get me wrong. But number one, when we were kids, I always knew when my parents had sex the night before because my mother would blast Neil Diamond and make blueberry muffins.
So don't bring your personal traumas into this debate. That is unfair.
I bring my personal traumas to every debate.
And it's number
two, I was recently bitten by a dog named Neil Diamond. And so That is true. If they're listening to this, Brett Chin and Kai Nesitchin, I forgive you and I love Neil Diamond, but he did bite me. And so I'm holding that against the actual Neil Diamond. So we are advancing. Enough Is Enough, No More Tears to round two. And finally, in round one, it's an even split between Streisand's cover of Memory from Cats off her 1981 Memories album and her iconic 1960s duet with Judy Garland, Get Happy / Happy Days Are Here Again. Bub argue why it's not so easy to leave Memory standing alone. I will urge us to forget our troubles and instead get happy. Bob, since you say you have to go first all the time, I will go first this time. This is one of Barbara's earliest duets, and this one dates to 1963 in a very young Barbara Streisand guesting on the Judy Garland show on CBS. It's a matchup of two upbeat standards, Happy Days Are Here Again and Come On, Get Happy, but with a down-tempo jazzy twist. And somehow it just works. These are two very different, totally unique vocal artists providing counterpoint to one another. And while the tone of the arrangement has a wistful, kind of plaintive tone to it, it ends triumphantly with the two of them almost like willing good times to return. The only kind of comparison I have for this is, and we've already referenced it once in this debate, the Bing Crosby, David Bowie, Drummer Boy, Peace on Earth duet, but this actually predates that. And it's, you've got that pass off, right? The handoff of vocal, iconic vocalist from one generation to the next. And the funny thing about this is it was never professionally recorded to my knowledge. It was just, they took the audio from the broadcast and you can still listen to it now. I can see it on YouTube. You can listen to it on Spotify. I don't know if you can buy the single. I believe it is on her duet album, but like the fact that you have this archival footage that is still something that people reference. And I find it especially resonates with the gay community. That's kind of amazing. We're talking about something that is literally, as of next year, 60 years old and was never professionally recorded, to my knowledge, still being something that people cherish. And it's something very, very special. Bob, go ahead and talk about Memory from Cats.
I will say I can be easily swayed on this because I completely agree with everything you just said. And it is something very special. And what I was trying to, as I was trying to sort these two things out, I love both of these songs. And to me, Memory, it is from Andrew Lloyd Webber from Cats, right? And I know that Betty Buckley will be eyeing my lemon drink when I say this, but it is to me this is the definitive one for me when it comes to Memory. I think that it is so well suited to her voice. There is this amazing moment in the second, at the end of this song, the climax of this song, where it's the touch me moment, right? And it is so powerful and so strong. I talked about chills from my previous argument, right? That's that chills moment, especially when you see the show too, with really anyone performing this, like that chills moment of the song. She hits it so well and does so well with the song. And I was just trying to sort out between like what is a Barbara song. And you pointed out really the recording of this show. Like, it's not a recording. It just happens to be a song that she performed one day with Judy on her show. And there's no kind of professional recording or release of this. It was released later, I believe, on the Duets album, perhaps. They lifted the audio and did that.
Yeah.
But to me, I was like kind of going back and forth. Is like, do I push that forward knowing that it was just, you know, great that they performed this together. But I know a lot of artists who perform lots of things in concert that aren't their songs, that don't become their songs, and they just happen to like the song and perform it, right? So I can be easily swayed because obviously I don't want to, you know, be a betrayer to my people, my tribe, of taking Judy and Barbara and saying, like, excluding Judy from the rest of this debate. But for me, I can be swayed, but I'm leaning a little towards Memory at this time.
I actually will agree with you that I do think it's crazy to say this because she never actually performed in the show Cats, but I actually think this is the definitive version of Memory. And you can tell me I'm crazy, but that touch me moment, never has there been another recording that comes close to getting that right as Barbara does. Mm-hmm. Derek, where are you on this?
You know, Eric, I think it's funny that you said that the Happy Days and Come On Get Happy are very close to the gay community. What is more relatable to the gay community than feeling old and abandoned in an alley just begging to be touched?
It's true. It's true. It's true. I'm constantly saying, touch me.
Come on now. So I am with Memory here.
That is possibly the best argument we've ever had on the Great Pop Culture Debate. Snaps for Derek Makeda. That is great. Nick Everidge, where are you?
Oh my gosh, this is so tough. I'm still with Happy Days, Come On, Get Happy. The meeting of the minds, the meeting of the divas performing this. Just astonishing. When you perform this song, if you ever perform it with friends, even at karaoke or something, it's just so uplifting. Memory is fantastic. Elaine Page, she originated the role for mm-hmm. Grisabella in the West End production of Cats. I feel like there are just, honestly, so many others who have recorded Memory, and I actually don't personally see it as a definitive version, Barbara's sure. version, but I mean, it's great. I hate that these are up against each other, but iconic, just Happy Days, Come On, Get Happy just blows it away for me.
Okay, so if we're going to have a tie, now the tiebreaker goes to Bob. So Bob, you have the power.
Yeah. I think that Nick made a good point there, right? It might not Maybe not, but it might not be to him or to some others the absolute best performance of Memory. But I think it's the most well-known version, especially to a general public who may have never even seen Cats themselves. Mm. You know, so I think that it has that going for it. And, you know, we're split here, and I think that there's no wrong answer, right? There's no wrong answer to a lot of these pair-ups. And I think if I didn't have Derek with me, I would probably just go with the group and push forward, you know, if you guys were all on that side. But, you know, I think I'm going to stick with Derek and myself, unless Derek's going to switch. I think we'll push forward Memory.
I am Derek, not, because I am just begging to be touched. So
okay.
let's push Memory forward.
So we are going to push Memory forward, and that is it for round one. We're going to take a break and check the mirror for both of our faces, and we will be right back after these messages. Welcome back to round two of our best Barbra Streisand song debate. Before we get to round two, let's discuss how listeners can meet these Fockers and follow you on social media. Bob?
You can find me at DizNerdBob on Twitter and Instagram. Find me there and you can tell me if I'm wrong.
All right, Derek?
You can find me on Twitter at DRKMKT, and I don't give a shit whether you think I'm wrong or not.
That's a very Barbra Streisand attitude. And for me, you can definitely follow at Eric Resniak on Instagram and Twitter, but you should definitely follow at Great Pop Culture Debate on Instagram and at Culture_Debate on Twitter for sure. Moving on to round two of the debates. First up, we have another unanimous victory for Don't Rain on My Parade, which marched its band out and trampled Papa Can You Hear Me. Next, the panel is currently split on The Way We Were and People. Derek, could it be that it was so simple to advance to The Way We Were in round one? Or has time rewritten every line? Bob, be a people person. I'm going to have Bob go first and then Derek.
Yeah, we argued in round one. Now, both of these songs to me, I don't really have a strong affinity towards either of them, but we argued in round one where both of these were like those iconic Barbra songs, right? Where if you say, give me a Barbra song, these are the ones probably on the tip of someone's tongue. But when I look at the two of them together, I think People resonates more with people, with the general public. I think that it is the song that people probably know more of the lyrics from. They can hum along to and sing along to easier and better than The Way We Were. To me, it is a better song for that. It is from from the Broadway show. It was Funny Girl, right? Is what we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. right? You know, I just think it's easier to hum. It's easier to sing along to. And I just think it's the one that I would probably listen to first over The Way We Were. Both beautiful and wonderful songs. Neither one of them my top Barbra song, but of these two, it's definitely People.
Okay. And Derek, talk to me about The Way We Were.
Yeah. I mean, my God, as soon as the piano starts and she starts to hum the chorus, we are hooked. Whenever you can bring together Barbra and Marvin Hamlisch, it's bound to be gold. The instrumentation is perfectly giving that early 70s sound with a lot of electric guitar on the wah pedal. Her voice is just so captivating on this track. Barbra is simply a master at taking the audience on an emotional journey through her tone and her clarity while perfectly capturing the melancholy of the lyrics in this song. You want to be on a sofa in front of a warm fire wrapped in cashmere. And I will say this, as good as the track sounds on Spotify when you're streaming it anywhere else, it really is one that's begging to be played on vinyl. All that said, let's hit the facts. This song did not win an Oscar. It won two Oscars. Billboard placed it at number one on their year-end Hot 100 singles for 1974. In fact, this track was so successful that it was certified platinum. I don't think I need to say anything else. We've said it before. This is one of those songs where it's definitively Barbra. It's one of the ones that people return to. And, you know, through Eric's rubric, it's probably the one that I want to listen to more.
Mm. Okay. Nick, where are you on this one?
Oh, you guys have both made such incredible arguments. And initially, I was swayed more towards People in the sense that I think it resonates and is so connected with Barbra for most people. No pun intended. The Way We Were, it's so iconic as well. The Bergmans, their lyrics, along with the work of Marvin. It's so tough. You know what, Eric? I'm going to hear what your opinion is first.
Sure.
Before I give my answer.
That is the one time I'm going to allow you to do that. So I hope you enjoyed it. So I appreciate both answers. And I'm just trying to think to myself. So People is critical for the beginning of Barbara's career. I think The Way We Were was, I think, more of a cementing her as this real force in both film and music, which is what she kind of pivoted to in the 70s in a way that she hadn't before. I think if we're talking about which is the better song, I give it to The Way We Were. I do. It's short, but it's very impactful. And I think, is this the one that's playing at the end of The Star Is Born? Or no, this is from The Way We Were.
This is from the
Redford, the Your Girl Is Lovely hobble moment.
The bell siren thing.
The bell siren thing. No one will get that joke except us, Bob. I'm going with The Way We Were here. I think People is really good. I think it's good that it's made it to round two. That, to me, is where it deserves to tap out. I'm giving it to The Way We Were here. I think it is a final four seed.
Can I help Nick on this, too?
Yes, please.
I think I'm going to switch over to The Way We were. And I think one of the things that I just thought this up myself too is a reason why I might be switching over is there's a wonderful scene in Naked Gun 2.5.
Yes.
Priscilla Presley is singing it in the shower and a burglar comes into the room, and as she's humming it and singing it, he starts doing a duet with her on it.
Like, literally, I was thinking that too, Bob. Thank you for taking the hit.
Oh my god,
I think it actually may be from the first one, not from the second one.
Yeah, either way, I think it's 2.5, but I might be wrong.
It is, but like, again, the cultural relevancy of that song supersedes just the original film that it was in. And I think, you know, the fact that it went platinum, I don't think people ever did. So, Nick, where are you on this?
I'm going to go with The Way We Were. I loved People. It actually was put into the Grammy Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Back in the late 90s. It's incredible, but The Way We Were, my goodness.
All right, so we will advance, in fact, unanimously after all that debate, The Way We Were. Next, we are evenly split between two very different songs. Nick, explain why the earnest, longing evergreen should continue to go on to this bracket forever. I will sneak in a killer key change and argue for the disco fabulousness of Main Event / Fight. And I'm going to have Nick go first.
Okay, thanks, Eric. Listen, evergreen, Barbara actually helped write the song. It won not only an Oscar, but a Grammy, as Derek said earlier. It is quintessential Barbara. I just can't see it. As fabulous as The Main Event is, I can't see that song overtaking something as amazingly important to the Barbara discography than Evergreen.
Okay, so here's where I'm coming down on this one. I actually will be okay if we lose The Main Event, but it means we can't lose No More Tears, because I do not want a Final Four that does not have any of Disco Barbara, because to me that's a really important phase of her career, and we would be doing a disservice to her as an artist and her legacy if we had nothing but weepy ballads in the F4. And I love her weepy ballads. Like, I love Evergreen. I people don't think I don't. But this is what I'm going to say about The Main Event, which is actually a much better song than it has any right to be. The song is better than the movie that it was the title track to. We watched it during the pandemic. If you haven't watched it, it's Barbara is playing like a fight coach, like a boxing coach to Ryan O'Neal's kind of loser. And I don't think she's deliberately supposed to be coaching, but somehow ends up coaching him. And then he actually ends up becoming a successful boxer. And it's also like this, you know, unlikely couple romance thing and the whole deal. Like, it was during that period where like Ryan O'Neal was somehow really famous, which is fascinating. But like, that's the movie was fine. Barbara's really good in it. She's good in everything. The song is way better. And I give that the key change. in this song. I do want to do a best key change debate at some point. And the key change in this song is put in such a brilliant location towards the end where it's like snuck in and it just flips. And then when she's doing that final and it builds and climaxes, which to me is what disco was all about. Appropriate given it was the 70s and everybody was just having sex constantly. God, I miss those days. But like even at the end when she's doing that, when we make love repeated going up the scale, like she's even like sliding into that stuff. It's a real virtuosic performance and I love it. It's an exciting song. But I can understand why we would tap it out now in favor of Evergreen, which is a better song and certainly a more iconic Barbra song. So, Bob, where are you?
It's a fact. It's a first-rate act, in my opinion. I need to go with the main event. And I think you made a point, Eric, of like we're going to push Evergreen forward again, potentially, and it's going to be more of the ballads. And to this point, they're really, I guess, standards, right? Some of these songs that she has, some of these iconic songs. It's not the better song for me in this case. I think the key change at the end is an incredible point to raise. I think that the energy, the fun, the really the better than it ought to be sort of quality of this song and really something special that's really a surprise and something unique and different and very Barbra. I talked earlier about really the jingle bells of it all, of her manic and kind of wackiness of her and who she is. And I think she brings a little bit of that energy into this song. And Evergreen's a beautiful song. And I think we know that Barbra can deliver a beautiful ballad. But I think there's more to Barbra than just a beautiful ballad. I think there's so much more about her that we need to encapsulate and identify in some of these great songs that fall outside that category. For me, it's the main event. In this pairing, I just think that there's a lot more energy and fun. It is the song I am going to listen to out of the pair. And that's, I think, where I'll leave it.
Okay. Derek, it comes to you.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm sticking with Evergreen, and I like your strategy, Eric, here, because for me, No More Tears is more of the definitive Barbra disco song mm-hmm. for me going into the next matchup. So I think I would like to see Evergreen move forward here.
Well, here's the good news. It's a tie, and that means you're the tiebreaker with this one because it goes to you alphabetically. So we're pushing forward Evergreen?
We are.
Okay. Finally, in round two, the panel is split again between another Streisand disco banger, No More Tears, featuring Donna Summer, and Memory from Broadway. Derek, explain why we should have seen it from the start. Tears should advance. I will touch myself and talk about Memory. Not actually, if you're listening to Miss Streisand, that was just a reference to the song. And I guess I'll go first. So I do think that my inclination is to go for No More Tears here, as I just explained, but I do want to speak on why I think Memory, we referenced this in round one, I do believe that it is the more definitive version of the song. Yeah, there have been a bunch of artists who performed this in the Cats cast, in the official recordings, that have made an impact, but I think if you were going to say to, you know, not that anyone calls a DJ anymore, and not that you would ever call a DJ to say, oh, play Memory from Cats.
I would.
Like, if you were going to do that, you probably couldn't come up with their names on the tip of your tongue, but you can remember Barbra Streisand's, and she delivers it so well. It also does not have the issues that Somewhere has, in that the record, the arrangement of it is not super 80s. It has a timelessness to it. And again, if we're talking about looking at her career all-encompassing, I do think we need to have some Broadway representation somewhere in the F4, although I say that and Don't Rain on My Parade is going to be in there. So cheerfully withdrawn. With that being said, I'm going to pass it along to Derek for No More Tears.
Yeah. Do you want me to argue it? Do you want me to save it?
Well, let's ask for votes right now. Where are you, Nick?
No More Tears.
Bob?
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough. Bob?
I would choose Memory. I'm going to admit something to the group and now to the world. I didn't know that this Enough is Enough song existed until we did this bracket. Yes. Oh, and that, I can't put, that's a demerit for me.
Yes.
I have failed as a friend. I can't believe that I never made you listen to this song.
Yeah, and that if it couldn't make its way into my orbit, I can't treat it as something superior to memory.
I guess that's a fair argument. So Bob is for memory. I actually think I'm switching my vote, especially since the main event went out in last argument. I need a disco song on there, and I do think it's No More Tears. So, Derek, you're No More Tears?
I am, yes.
Okay, so it's 3 to No More Tears, meaning memory is out. So before we get to our final four matchups in round 3, we're going to take another quick break before we go nuts. We will be right back. What's up, Doc? We're back with round 3 of our best Barbra Streisand song debate. Let's look at that final four. We have Don't Rain on My Parade versus The Way We Were, Evergreen versus Enough is Enough, No More Tears. I always like to take a step back and evaluate. Is it the F4 that I was expecting? No, but I do think it's a very representative of her career overall. I wish there was something a little bit more recent in there, but I mean, you've got Broadway, you've got her huge movie soundtrack smashes, you've got disco. I think that's a pretty good bar, but you also have a duet in here. It's a pretty representative look at the Streisand oeuvre. So with that said, let's go right into the first one. Don't Rain on My Parade versus The Way We Were. We're going to go around the horn. I'm going to start with Bob. Where are you coming down on this?
Don't Rain.
Derek?
Don't Rain on My Parade. Yep.
Nick?
Don't Rain.
So we're now unanimous. We have not yet once discussed Don't Rain on My Parade.
I love it when this happens. I love it.
We refer to this as Ursuling on the podcast, yes. Where a selection goes all the way to the final two without ever being discussed beforehand. But that's where we are. And then it's Evergreen versus Enough is Enough, No More Tears. And I'm going to start with Nick. Where are you?
Oh, this is so hard, but I have to go Evergreen on this one.
Derek. Evergreen. Derek?
Oh God. I'm going to go with No More Tears.
Bob.
I care not for this side of the bracket, but I will choose, and I've railed against it throughout, like not necessarily railed, but I've been against it throughout, and I will be choosing Evergreen. Because in my mind, although I know disco was an important part of some of her music, when I think Barbara, it's either ballads or Broadway, and Enough is Enough doesn't represent that for me. And when we want to talk about what is truly a better song in this pairing, Evergreen truly is.
Okay, I would certainly vote for Enough is Enough, No More Tears. It is, I think, not just a great disco song, but a great song overall. It is two amazing artists just going like full bore. We talked about Evergreen is like the definition of vocal restraint. No More Tears is the definition of zero restraint. These women are taking out their earrings, they are putting the Vaseline in their hair, and they are going in on their men. And I applaud that. That being said, that means it's 2-2. Tiebreaker goes to Nick Everidge because it's now him alphabetically.
You know what? Enough is enough. The 11-minute disco version is on constant replay on some of my playlists, but I honestly have to go with Evergreen.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I respect it, which gives us a final two of Don't Rain on My Parade versus Evergreen. So now we should probably start to discuss Don't Rain on My Parade. I will open it by one of the things we didn't talk about is how we kind of individually became acquainted with the works of Ms. Streisand, since everybody on this podcast was born well into her career. I was aware of her before, certainly. Like, my mother did not have her albums or anything like that, but I knew of her. And for me, it was early 2000s, walking through my apartment, Turner Classic Movies was on, and it's the scene in Funny Girl where she's singing Don't Rain on My Parade, and she's there in that fabulous orange outfit with the huge muff. It's a muff, right? That's what we call it? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Hand muff.
Yes. And
she has a huge muff.
She's got an enormous muff. She's just resplendent is the only word. It's hypnotic. Like, you couldn't take your eyes off of her. And it was that penny drop moment. I was like, oh, okay, no, I completely get the Barbra Streisand thing now. And this song is, obviously, it's for Funny Girl. It's the Fanny Bryce moment where she's just like, oh, I've got to go after my man, which spoiler if you've looked at actual history or watched Funny Lady, does not work out so great for her. But in that moment, it is the correct decision, and it is spectacular. It's a great, great song, and many people have done it, obviously. Although I did not realize that the Funny Girl revival currently on Broadway is the first time they've actually done a Funny Girl revival on Broadway since the 60s, because everyone's like, no one can possibly fill the shoes that Barbara Streisand was wearing. Mm-hmm. And spoiler, that is correct. But that is my bit on Don't Rain on My Parade. I'm going to pass it. Derek, where are you on this one?
So I will have a bearing my soul moment and just say that I've actually never seen Funny Girl all the way through.
Oh,
I came to this song through a couple different avenues. One was Robin Williams sitting in the chair getting all the makeup done in Mrs. Doubtfire. That's where I think that may be where I first heard it, and then I heard it again in the movie Connie and Carla. And then I finally got to watch the actual, like, you know, not music video, but like clip from Funny Girl on YouTube of Barbara doing the song, and there's no way I can't vote for this over Evergreen. It's just like, it's the song to me.
That queen is on a tugboat in New York Harbor.
Yes.
And she is bearing her soul. And like, I defy you to tell me that anyone would possibly rain on her parade in that moment. All right, Bob, where are you?
For me, I mentioned at the beginning how the Broadway album, putting it together, like that was how I initially kind of came to Barbara. It's certainly how I came to Broadway. When it was that Broadway album, I didn't necessarily connect the dots that it was also Barbara in that moment. But as I became an adult gay, and I saw, I will admit that I've never seen Funny Girl all the way through, but I've seen this scene. I've seen this tugboat. I've been on that tugboat with her side by side time and again, feeling every emotion and saying to myself as an adult gay, saying, okay, this is what this is. This is Barbara Streisand. This is everything she is to everyone. Everything, everywhere, all at once. She is. For me, there is no comparison when you put it up against Evergreen. Evergreen, a wonderful song. This, everything about the energy and just the sheer emotion and movement that this song, Don't Rain on My Parade, brings to you. Don't Rain on My Parade. It is something that I think we can identify as people in the gay community, right? Saying, like, standing up and saying, don't come for me. Don't rain on my parade. It's just so great in every way that I would never choose anything over this. And it's probably why it's soared through to the end.
Yes. And before I go to Nick for his thoughts on this, I just want to quickly interject. I cannot believe we have not actually referenced this once in this podcast. Nothing from the Hello Dolly film made it onto the bracket.
Oh, yeah.
And if this talk makes you think, oh, I need to go back and watch Funny Girl, I encourage you to do that. You can find it on any of the streaming services. You might have to pay for it, but it's worth it. The Hello Dolly movie was also something that she starred in as Dolly Levi. I want to say late 1960s, maybe 1970. It was not well regarded at the time because Barbara Streisand was far too young to be playing the main character in that show. However, you need to put that aside, and aside the terrible casting of Walter Matthau as her love interest in the movie, because she devours that role. And every scene she is in, the costumes are so luxe. The musical sequences are perfection. It took a show that I never particularly liked, and because of her and the magic that is her, it is spectacular. And her version of Hello Dolly, with all respects to Carol Channing, is to me the definitive version of Hello Dolly. So that all being said, Nick, what do you think about this final two?
Listen, I can't remember my life without Barbara Streisand, and so many songs live within me. And I was trying to think about, well, when did I first hear People or The Way We Were or Don't Rain on My Parade? There are just so many that they just define music in some ways for me. Don't Rain on My Parade, such an incredible anthem. You guys have already discussed how it relates to us, to those of us gay folks out there, and something that we play often for ourselves to make it through this world. For me, of course, as I said at the very beginning, I was, one, doomed to love Barbara Streisand, and two, doomed to be gay. Actually, I was preordained to be gay, not doomed, because my mother was going to name me Nicholas no matter what. So,
just like Jason Gould.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah. So Don't Rain on My Parade just wins it over. I have fought for Evergreen throughout all of this discussion, but Don't Rain on My Parade.
So there you have it, folks. Our pick for the best Barbra Streisand song of all time is Don't Rain on My Parade from Funny Girl. Do you agree with our choice? Do you think we're a freckle on the nose of life's complexion? Let us know your pick by leaving a comment on this episode at greatpopculturedebate.com or yell at us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or YouTube. While you're there, make sure you like and subscribe for more great pop culture debate content. And if you really like what you heard, please consider supporting us on Patreon, which can get you access to even more exclusive episodes, merch, and the ability to suggest episodes for us to record in the future. Thank you to my panelists. Like lovers, you are also very special people. And thank you for listening. Until next time, remember, everyone is entitled to their wrong opinions.